The eastern sky's gonna break wide open. Trumpet of the Lord's gonna sound. We're going away.
And welcome to Hour of Hope. I'm your host, Pastor Matthew Broman of Safe Harbor Church in Akaton, Alaska. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Today we're going to learn how to get spiritual fit in a very important Bible study. The theme of the music will be Native Christian music, and I'm just so glad you're here. Let's enjoy the first one as we have a Native Christian singer looking to the hope of Jesus's
Yeah.
As I mentioned, I am Pastor Matthew Broman of Safe Harbor Church in Accutan, Alaska, and I'm glad you're with me on the Hour of Hope. Every week on this wonderful radio station, we focus on the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. You may feel like there's no hope, all is lost, but I have good news for you. All is not lost because Jesus Christ is real. In today's message, we're going to be looking at the Bible study on how to be spiritually healthy. I know you will be excited. But let's continue with some more of the wonderful Christian music. God is not an American. He's not a certain people group. He is for everyone. He created everyone. God is God. He loves everybody. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then let's listen to some more music. Father, thank you for these people that listen every week. I pray for their individual places they live, their islands, and other places. Bless them. I pray you would grow this radio program. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
My name is Wilson B. Calvin. I'm a Navajo Indian from out here in Arizona. I'm a member of 400-member tribe of the Navajo Indians. We live in the southwest part of America, where four corners meet: Arizona, New Mexico, Colorado, and Utah. And our reservation spans almost all of Arizona, northern Arizona, and then into New Mexico and a portion of Utah. And I have been born and raised here, and But originally, I am from the New Mexico side of the reservation. I had seen probably half the world before I even reached 27. I've been in military. Saw combat and made me mad at the world of what life was like, wartime, killing people that you didn't know, you know, just hurting people that you never would know, and yet just doing it for your country's sake. But when I came out of the military, I was miserable. And my mom and dad had, the only answer I had was drinking. So my mom and dad had received me home, but my mom told me we'd have to go to hire a medicine man to sing over you because you've been affected by the enemy way. The enemy way in the Navajo language is anai. So that's what's hurting you. That's why you're drinking. That's why you're doping. You're not doing the things that Navajo is supposed to be doing. And yet you're doing something that is wrong. And the only way they're going to be cured is by a medicine man. So they hired a medicine man to come sing over me. And the first night, in the middle of the night, at midnight, they called for a recess and everybody could go out of the meeting room. And when they did, the medicine man paused and then he had a bag with him and he reached in his bag and got a pint of wine. And that was something that he drank. And I sat there and I thought, this man is supposed to be singing over me, curing me from alcoholism, and he can't even handle his wine. So I got up and walked out. My mom and dad saw me outside and said, you're not supposed to be in here. The patient's not supposed to leave. What are you doing? I told him, I don't believe in this stuff. That man there's drinking, you know, and he's supposed to be curing me from my drink. Oh, that ain't right. So I walked out. My mom got upset really bad. My dad just got quiet. And my wife-to-be was with me then. My wife now is this, been my wife now for over 46 years. And she just quietly stood by me. And I told her, I said, let's go over to where you're from. Get away from this place. There's just a bunch of crazy things going on here, and this man is not going to help me. And that's why I lost faith in my traditional religion. I lost faith in all kind of religion. Didn't care for it. That was back in February 11, 1983. I'll give you a little bit of my testimony. I was saved in the only service that the preacher had at a place called Ojo Amarillo. It was a community of about 200 tribal homes, and I had been living in one of them homes. And that man come by every Thursday night. After I get off work, go to the house, take a shower, and as soon as I do, he's there. Walking up the street, he parked up the street, and then he walked down to my house and never visited the other homes. He came to my home, and he'd always talk to me about this and that, and came down to talking about Jesus. I'd get mad at him, you know, I get upset. I'd tell him, white man, you have your religion, I have mine, time for you to leave. And he'd politely leave, but the next Thursday, 6 o'clock, there he is again coming. It got to where we could time it, you know. I know when I came back from work, I tell my wife, I said, put on the coffee, preacher's gonna be coming down here in a little bit. Sure enough, here he comes. And that went on for a while, about, I guess, several weeks or into months. And I guess, you know, he kind of grew accustomed to come and visit my home. And but we talked about everything. And but when he started talking about Jesus, I told him, you need to leave. And he knew that. But he was trying to win me to God, and I didn't know that, you know. But then one day, he kind of threw a monkey wrench in the whole thing. He came on a Saturday. And I had just been out drinking with my friends and come back. And I was a little bit already, a few sheets to the wind. And he come walking up. And I remember who he was, but I couldn't remember his name. And he got to talking with me. Then he said, I see that you're not physically able to comprehend what I'm talking to you. But I want to tell you one thing. I got church going on tomorrow over here at the gymnasium at the school. I'd like for you to come. And so just to get rid of him, I told him, go ahead. So I said, I will. And then that was the end of that conversation. The next day, February 11, 1983, his snow was coming down, and it was a miserable day. And on top of that, I was hungover, because after he had left yesterday, I had gone out with my friends again, didn't come until 3 o'clock in the morning. and I was pretty drunk. And that morning I was laying there, and my son, Terrence, he was 5 years old then, and he come walking to the room. He said, "Daddy," he said, "are we going to church?" I said, "Where?" And he said, "Well, you promised that preacher to go to church. I've never heard you lie, Dad, and we're going to church, are we?" And then my wife came in, and then she sat at the foot of the bed, and she started weeping, and then my son was weeping. And so I got out of bed, I looked over there, and I told him, "You guys quit your crying, we'll go." So I got dressed, and we went and drove down to the gymnasium. It's only about half a mile, went down there. We got in the service, and he had taken a tarp and covered the gymnasium floor. He had about 25 chairs there, and he had a little portable pulpit. The only thing he had to announce at church was he had a tire rim with a pipe welded in the middle at the top of a sign that said, "Baptist meet here." That's all he had. So we went in there, and we sat down. And I looked around, and there was a lady in the back, had two kids. And then there was another lady came in later with another, with a child. And that was all that was there. And then me, my wife, and at that time I had two kids. And we went and sat down. And the man took out a songbook, and he had already been passing the church down a ways from us, about 22 miles on the reservation. And he started leading the singing, and boy, he had the awfulest voice. He couldn't sing. And then on top of that, he tried to sing in Navajo. This is a white missionary now. He's trying to sing in Navajo, my language. And I just sat there and thought, man, what do I get myself into? Then the man said, "Well, that's enough singing." He closed the songbook, and then he said, "Take your Bibles, and I want to preach to you a little bit from the Word of God." And he said, "Who don't have a Bible?" I raised my hand, and he brought me a Bible. He opened it up to Luke 16, and he said, "Son, don't turn anywhere. This is where I'm going to preach from. Just hold it there." And he began to preach about a rich man in hell. And the thing that really got me under conviction was he preached a point, like he said, "You know, this man was rich." And he said, "You may not be rich, but you're still going to hell, sir." He kept preaching, and he kept saying, "Sir." And I looked around, and I was the only man in that church. And I thought, he's preaching to me. And see, I guess I could go back, you know, a few months before we moved up there. My mother-in-law was a saved woman, and she'd pray for me every day. And even at breakfast, if I went for work, she'd pray, and I'd tell her, "Don't pray for me. Leave me alone. I'm okay." And so when we moved away, I was relieved, but a week not even passed when that preacher showed up. So I couldn't understand that, but God knew what he was doing. He sent the Holy Spirit after me. And God wasn't going to just let it go. And so I was saved there that Sunday morning. Preacher was still preaching, and my eyes welded up with tears. I thought, I'm going to hell. And I don't want to go to hell. And I want to live right, and I want to raise my kids up right. And this is the only way I guess I can do it. So when the preacher was still preaching, I interrupted him. I said, "Sir." I said, "You're preaching all the time about sir, and I'm him. I'm the only man here, so I want to be saved. How do you get saved?" So he laid down his Bible, and he called his son. He said, "Son, lead the singing for invitation. I'm going to deal with this man here." So at 27 years old, I came up to the altar. I'll tell you, I went down dirty, but I got up clean. I went down child of the devil, but I got up child of the king. I went down miserable, but I come up happy. I'm telling you, God did something down in my soul, and I got to experience firsthand what salvation is. And, you know, the Bible says here, Psalm 40, I'm going to read it to you. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my going. And he had put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." That's exactly what my testimony is. I was in the muck and mire of the world, but that day, February 11, 1983, God turn on the light in my heart.
That was a native flute, of course, as we've had all the music has revolved around being around the native Christian culture. And it's wonderful to see God take traditional cultural instruments and people use them to praise Him. So good, so good. Well, with that note, let's get into our Bible study. If you got your Bibles, it would be a good idea to turn to the verses. Let me ask you a question. This is a Bible study. Don't forget, if you haven't yet or you want to, please email me, MATHEW, B as in Victor, ROMAN, @gmail.com. And also, you can go to Amazon, you put my name in, there's two books that just came out that I'd love for you to purchase and leave a review. It's MATHEW, and then V as in Victor, ROMAN. You can find it under Dr. Matthew Broman. Also, if you want to check out my YouTube channel, Buy the Bible. Buy the Bible, where I take and evaluate popular teaching out there and compare it to the Bible. Let's get into the Bible. So here's my question. What are you doing to get spiritually fit? What is it you are doing to get spiritually fit? Are you spinning and not getting anywhere? What do you do to get spiritually fit? What are the things you need to do? We're going to take 5 weeks and look at something that's designed for the busy, tired person that needs a practical plan for getting spiritually fit. So why would you want to get spiritually fit before we look at how to do it and more of what it is? Well, if you're spiritually fit as a Christian, you will experience the wonderful high calling of God, Philippians 3:12. I press toward the mark, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said the high calling, meaning it's valuable. He said it's the highest, this special calling all Christians have. He says, I'm pressing on to get that high calling. Number two, so you experience the wonderful high calling of God. Number two, you know God in a real way. I don't know if you remember, if you realize, this is all about a personal, wonderful relationship with God. John 17:3, Jesus said this, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. See, God used them to, he uses people to get to know him. Number three, so we've got experience the wonderful high calling of God, know God in a real way. Number three, see God use them to impact others in their community. That would be because you're abiding in him, which is a definition of spiritual health. He said, John 15:5 says, I am the vine, ye are the branches, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. And then finally, two more, you'll know what is right, Ephesians 4:14, that ye henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried away with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. If you're not growing in spiritual health, you're not going to know the right thing to do. But a mature Christian, a healthy Christian, a fit Christian will not be throwing back and forth. Like when I was riding in the boat this last Monday, I was swaying. Oh, it made my stomach so ill. You're not going to be like that as a Christian. You're going to be stable. Nothing's going to move you from the following Christ. And then invest in what will last. 1 Timothy 4:8. For bodily exercise profited little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. And that's the idea of it does, if you work out, you're doing exercise, it does help you in the short term. But one day we're all going to get old, our bodies are going to waste away, we're going to eventually pass. But when we exercise ourselves for godliness or the things of God, it's not just here it impacts us, but it also impacts us in the afterlife. So it's beneficial. So let's review those again. Why do you want to get spiritually fit? Because a spiritually fit Christian will experience the wonderful high calling of God. Number two, know God in a real way. Number three, see God use them to impact others and their community. Number four, know what is right, invest in. And number five, invest in what will last. These and so much more come through spiritual working out daily and getting fit. We're going to look at that. So ask yourself, what's the goal of the study? To get spiritually fit. What is the need you have for spiritual health? Well, all those things I mentioned, if you're not experiencing them, you're not a spiritually fit Christian. You're not, it's like anything. If you're not going to do the things needed to experience the outcome, you're, if you don't work out, you're going to be flabby. If you eat wrong, you're going to be not in good health. If you don't do spiritual disciplines, the things you need to do to be spiritually healthy, you're not going to be spiritually healthy. So here's where we start. First of all, you've got to make sure you are saved. I did not say religious. I said saved. What is the goal? What does that mean? What was the goal? Well, the goal is to grow in that relationship. How do you get the relationship? By making sure you are saved. Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Well, you may be saying, I've done that. I sing songs. I testified of Christ, okay? But I didn't finish the verse. It says, and that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. How are you saved? It's a heart belief. See, religion is the outward. You can fake that. I can go to church and say, I confess Jesus is Lord. I can pray a little prayer. But that does not save you. You're only saved by truly believing in Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. He died for you. You're saved to heaven. You're saved a relationship with him. You can grow in that relationship. But please, please, please hear, you are not saved through a church. I don't care what kind of church it is. Only through the blood of Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection. So number one, you've got to make sure you are saved. So do you want to get saved right now? Put your faith in Christ. Do that. Pray with me. Say, tell God, say, God, I want to be saved. In my heart, I believe you died for me and rose from the dead. Please save me in Jesus' name. Amen. Number two, you got to make sure you are committed. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? I'm paraphrasing. It's the idea of if he's Lord, you got to do what he says. So make sure you're saved. Make sure you are committed. Number two, don't look back. Luke 9:62. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Don't look back. Go forward. It's like it's not worth it. Do not look back. And so I've got, make sure you're saved. Make sure you're committed. Don't look back. And no matter how tired, disciples are falling asleep, and Jesus, it's night before he's in moments going to get arrested. He keeps coming back and finding them asleep. He says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Nothing in my body wants to follow God. He says, my flesh is weak, which is so true. So don't use physical limitations. Acknowledge them, but don't use them as a block to you getting spiritually fit. So again, those are, make sure you're saved, make sure you're committed, don't look back, and no matter how tired. Let's go on now and look at what are we supposed to do. I'm going to give you five things over the next 5 weeks of the radio program. But number one is, are you eating every day? You're thinking like, what are you talking about? Of course I'm eating every day. The first step to growing is to eat. Don't turn it off. You're thinking like, you know that. Stay with me. Imagine how difficult life would be if a person did not eat. Just like eating physically, every Christian needs to eat spiritually. So what is our food? What is our food? Well, the food is the Word of God. Peter writes, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. He says, the sincere milk of the Word. Catch that. A baby, what does a baby want? Milk. Why? Well, he says, the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. He compares the Word of God to milk of a newborn baby. The Word of God is our spiritual food. We need to daily spend time consuming the Word of God. Then look at the person's desire, and this is Jeremiah 15:16. They find the scrolls, and here's what Jeremiah writes. He was a prophet. Thy word were found. Let me ask you, if you saw your Bible, you lost your Bible, and you found it, what would your attitude be? Well, here's what Jeremiah wrote, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. He says, it was joy to me. I'm learning about God. So a person who is daily working out, they're doing it by spending time in the word, and they have a joy in doing it. It's not grudgingly. So how do we eat? How do we spiritually eat? Well, you know how you physically eat. Look at spiritually. Psalm 1:2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. So it's in the word of God, not in a book about the word of God, not in these little devotionals, but actually opening the word of God directly. And in his law does he meditate day and night. Now that doesn't mean empty your mind. It means fill your mind with deep things. Whatever you love, you think about. That's so true. We need to deeply think about the word of God. So this is a true way to engage. Then look at James 1:25 on how to eat. It says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, you want freedom, find in the word of God through Jesus Christ, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Continue to engage in a real way, in an impactful way, the word of God. So how to eat? You do it with the word of God in a real way. Now, we're going to break down plan. What's our plan? I'm going to use the letters in that word for an acronym. The P stands for place. Say that. The P stands for place. Jesus modeled this, Mark 1:35. He'd wore Jesus the night before and had people up really late healing the village. They all come by. He obviously was tired, but it says, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Jesus had a non-distracted place. So that's the first thing. You have to have a place that you're going to go to where you can focus. Maybe that's the bathroom. Maybe that's walking to work. Wherever it is, find a place where you will not be distracted. So the plan, the P stands for place. The L stands for learn. What are we doing? Well, Psalm 34:5, shew me thy ways, O Lord, and teach me thy paths. We want to learn the ways of God. We want to know the way to where to walk the path. We need to be learners of that. We're opening the Bible. We're looking at what God is trying to teach us. So the P is place. The L is learn. The A is ask. Let me ask you a question. How much do you enjoy when you enjoy something? You have to explain it. You have to tell somebody. It comes with the desire of just loving that. In the same way, we have to understand that God wants us to learn about him in the Bible if he saved us. Remember point number one, you got to be saved. Well, how much more, just like we love something, he loves us, he wants to reveal himself to us. So P is place, L is learn, A is ask. Psalm 119:18. Open thou my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. When you open the Bible, that God would show you incredible things. And he will if we'll really do it with our heart. And then need, John 21:21-22. Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? What he's saying is Peter sees John there. He starts talking to him about He starts talking to Jesus about John. So what about this guy? What's going to happen? So on and so forth. Here's what Jesus says. Jesus saith unto him, I'm finishing the verses, passages, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. He says, if whatever I want to do, that's what does that matter to you, Peter? You follow me. And the N stands for need, taking a personal responsibility for my need. So again, the P is place, the L is learn, the A is ask, and the N is need. Do you take responsibility for yourself to grow spiritually and become spiritually healthy? So think about it for a minute. Where and when will you read? Don't do it in bed. You'll fall asleep every time. Pick a time and a place where you're not distracted. What are you going to read? I think you should read through books of the Bible. Start with the Gospel of Mark, 16 chapters. If you want something a little smaller, start with 1 John. Each time, pray and say, God, show me something. And then record one thing you learned or something new you noticed, something God brought to your mind. So there it is. Are you working out? Well, you work out by eating daily, by consuming the Word of God. That's how you get spiritually healthy and strong. Please be with me next week, and we'll continue with Lesson 2, looking at more things we do every day to be spiritually healthy. There you go. So I hope that it's a blessing, because you want to be in an environment of growth. Make the commitment, plus choose the text, plus read every day, equals environment of growth. And you got to stick with it. Don't look back. Keep going, keep going, keep going. All right. It's been good to study the Word of God. I want to pray for everybody. Make the commitment to grow every day in the Word of God. If you need help, reach out to me, MATHEW, V as in Victor, ROMAN. I can send you a Bible or whatever ways I can help you. I'll do it. On today's program, we have focused on a lot of native music, and it's been exciting. You just heard the Bible study, and I wanted to read you the names of these various instruments and songs and various, because I got them off of YouTube and then downloaded MP3s. So here is their name, if you want to look it up on your own. The first was Reverend Doyle and Deborah Doyle, Eastern Sky Music Video. It's exciting. I like that one. And again, they're all natives. Number two, God Can Change Your Life, Testimony of a Navajo. Broken Walls, Created for Worship. Oh, that's so true. I remember we had the Amazing Grace, Mark Akixa, Native American. And then, of course, the Word of God. That was so exciting. Before we get off, I wanted to play one more song. How Great Is Our God, World Edition. This is by Chris Tomlin. It's an exciting, exciting song where they have, it's about how great is our God. And it has all these different languages, which I'm not going to tell you what they are. Spanish, I remember there's Chinese. There's different ones, English, of course. And it just reminds us of a key point. We live in a world where different groups get preference and there's all this division, but in God, there is no division. It's for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You don't go to hell. You believe in him. You have everlasting life. And that's so, so, so powerful. And the reason I really believe that is because then I don't have to look at somebody as, well, even though we called it Native, I don't have to look at somebody as a Chinese or a Turk or Native. I can look at somebody who trusts Christ as a believer in Christ. I can look at somebody as God loves that person. And it's just an amazing, amazing, amazing deep thing to think about. I hope that you have enjoyed this Native Music Edition. That was a powerful testimony about Christ changing people's lives, and he does. I think a lot of people run around looking for religion, but they miss the main point, and it's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So I was thinking a little bit more, because I've got a little more time. Think about it for a minute. I'm using that word, think a lot. What is it that everyone's looking for? People look to money, sex, success, jobs. There's nothing wrong with a job or money. Obviously, we have to work. We have to have money to live. But if we just look to that for the inner emptiness of the heart, we'll never find what we're looking for. When I was writing the book, This Is the Way, that's a new book I was telling you came out, and you can find it on Amazon. One of the points is that people look all these different paths. And there's a verse in Proverbs that says, There's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. Another verse says, even in laughter, the heart may ache. And I had this powerful quote about Robin Williams and about the famous comedian made so many people laugh, but he just talked about the sadness. And we know so many people who, comedians and stars, all these people that look glittery and smile inside, they're sad, they're empty. And that can only be filled through Jesus Christ. Do you have that relationship? Have you found a relationship? And I always say, we're not talking about religion. Because when I talk about this, most of the time people are like, well, I'm a Catholic, I'm a Baptist, I'm an Orthodox. We are not talking about religion. We're talking about a relationship of Jesus Christ that can only fill you up. He's the only one. And I just trust that you know him. And so as we listen to How Great Is Our God to go out, think about that. Are you one of the people that know how great God is? Well, if God saves you, you know he's great. I love the John 4. The woman, Samaritan woman, she'd been living with the guy. Jesus observed that she had all these other men. She comes to Jesus. She comes away saying, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? And the idea is she came away free. You know this woman walked in shame, but her interaction with Jesus freed her. The woman caught in adultery. He tells her, where are your accusers? Arise and go and sin no more. You don't have to dwell in sin. You can be free through me. He doesn't turn a blind eye to sin. Like, he doesn't say, well, that's all right. Just be happy. I'm not going to judge you. No, he judges her. She was caught in adultery. The woman who was living with that guy. But the point is, he frees her from that. Because then he would die on the cross, and he died on the cross to free us from our sins. I challenge you to think about, we're not proclaiming a religion, a new code, a new philosophy. We proclaim one thing, and it's Jesus Christ. It is so very, very true. I want to read a quote to you that Albert Einstein said about Christ. And he was Jewish. He wasn't a Christian, from what I understand. The famous scientist said this, as a child, I received instruction both in the Bible and the Talmud. I am a Jew, but I am enthralled by the luminous figure of the Nazarene. No one can read the gospel without feeling the actual presence of Jesus. His personality pulsates in every word. No myth is filled with such life. That is just powerful. H.G. Wells, who wasn't a Christian, says, I'm a historian. I'm not a believer, but I must confess as a historian that this penniless preacher from Nazareth is irrevocably the very center of history. Jesus Christ is easily the most dominant figure in all of history. And then Josh McDowell said, if one believes in the existence of Socrates, Alexander the Great, or Julius Caesar, then one should definitely believe in Christ's existence. If historicity is established by written records and multiple copies that date originally from near contemporaneous sources, there is far more historical evidence for Christ's existence than for any of theirs. The historicity of Christ is attested not only by Christians, but also by Greek, Roman, and Jewish sources. It's just amazing. One last quote I want to read you. So you know you're feeling a certain way. You know you have that emptiness. When I said it resonated, listen to what Jesus says. Come unto me. Not religion, not a code. Come to me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. Are you heavy? And I will give you rest. It is truly wonderful that those that come to him are promised rest. May you know the rest of God that is only found through the greatness of God and the great Savior, Jesus Christ. I'll see you next week. Tell somebody, and let's remember, there's always hope in Christ. Before we get off, I wanted to play one more song. How Great Is Our God, World Edition. This is by Chris Tomlin. It's an exciting, exciting song where they have, it's about how great is our God. And it has all these different languages, which I'm not going to tell you what they are. Spanish, I remember there's Chinese. There's different ones. English, of course. And it just reminds us of a key point. We live in a world where different groups get preference and there's all this division, but in God there is no division. It's for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16.
We're going to sing it in just a second, but before that, we're going to pray it over the nations. So just as loud as we're singing, let's just lift up a voice for the peoples of the earth. I think pretty much everybody in the house tonight's got a nation on your heart, a people on your heart, and if you don't, you need one. And I want us just to lift up our prayers tonight for the peoples all around this world. Those who know Jesus and who are walking beside us from whatever place, city, village, town they're in tonight, worshiping Jesus in the native language of their heart, but the billions of others who've never heard the name of Jesus before, who don't even know there's something called the cross, who don't even know there's grace enough to raise them from the dead. And let's pray for them right now, out loud, no triangle needed, every voice, as loud as you can. Let's lift up the nations and the peoples of the earth tonight to the great God who's above them all now. Let's pray, come on. Let's lift up people in Jesus' name and lift up the nations in Jesus' name, the cities and the villages, the jungles and the forests, the high rises and the homes. Come on, Lord, we're just praying in Jesus' name. We're just praying in the name of Jesus, Lord. Thanking you that you're God of the whole world, God of the nations tonight, Lord. All people you have made will come and worship you. All the nations you have made, Lord, will come and give glory to your name, Lord. And we're praying, Lord. We're praying for that message that's going out tonight, Lord. Let us be that message, Lord. Let us be that voice, Lord. Let us be your voice, Lord, going to all the people, Lord. All the nations, Lord. Let us be that voice. Let us be that voice, Lord. That's our prayer.
Above all names, come on, we say, you're the name.